We can't make it without the preaching of the word. Amen. It's foolishness to some, it's strength to those who understand that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the purpose for Wednesday night is to encourage people to give them information in order to overcome situations in their life. And this message is so simple that it might frighten you. I'd like you to turn to a very familiar scripture in Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse number 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Of course, there's other scriptures that say, "You have not because you ask not." So God's saying, please, would you just come before me with thanksgiving, and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to give you peace about this situation. Before you call somebody else, before you do anything else, you need to go to God. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts," or feelings, "and your minds," your thoughts, "through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Those things that you've learned, you received, you've heard. I'm glad people buy DVDs and CDs because they can review certain messages, because it can encourage you a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And those are the things that give you confidence in living for God. And then if you turn to Proverbs, the 16th chapter, Proverbs 16 and verse number 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So as we commit ourselves to God, actually what happens is God starts to establish your thoughts. He gives you the thoughts rather than thoughts coming in from other areas. There's all these songs that have been going through my mind today, and I realized those are thoughts and things that God has established in my mind because I've been willing to commit my life to serving Him. Doesn't do that with everybody. You know, if we're lost, it isn't anybody else's fault except ours. We condition ourselves in order to be the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last scripture is in Genesis, the 15th chapter, starting in verse number 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So number 1, don't be afraid. Number 2, I'm going to be your shield and I'm going to be your reward. Keep that in mind. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heavens and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. Lord, please bless the word of God tonight and touch our ears and our minds that we might be able to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I know that this is a very sophisticated group of people that come on a Wednesday night, but tonight I would like to color some pictures and take them home. This whole book is a picture book, if you will, God describing things and giving us visions of what he has in store for us and some of the people who have gone before us. You have to be able to color within the lines, if you will. At Christmas time, my wife got a coloring book. And what's happening is, what's very popular lately is adults having coloring books. In fact, my grandson at 17 got a coloring book last week for his birthday. And when I was young and my wife, we could get paint by numbers. And, you know, the red was 6, and, you know, and if you painted those colors and in the lines, if you did it right, it really turned out to be a very beautiful, for especially those people who aren't very talented to do it by themselves. And so I'm asking you to color within the lines tonight, and there will be no help from the person sitting next to you. And if you will do a good job and follow the instructions, there's going to be a prize for everybody at the end of the service. Amen. Are you ready? Generally, what children put down on paper is what they see in their head. Brother Portman illustrated that a few months ago in having some kids draw some pictures. And the same is true for adults, if we'll admit it. Adults have pictures in their head all the time, but they rarely will admit to what we're thinking of or what we have in our head. The psychiatrist will put ink between two folded pieces of paper and then ask the individual, what do you see, to determine what's going on in their head. It really doesn't matter what shape the ink makes. I see a new shotgun. Yeah. I see a new sofa, a new kitchen. I see a husband out there, you know. It's hard to escape the pictures we have formulated in our head on a regular basis. And tonight, we want to formulate new pictures drawn by God. Now, here in Genesis, the 15th chapter, God comes to Abram in a vision with two pictures. Fear not, and I am your shield. Now, he's discouraged. He doesn't have a child like he was promised. He's got Eliezer, who was born in his house, and he's going to inherit everything that he has, but he's just his servant, if you will. And the reason God came to him in a vision was because of what God already saw in Abraham's mind. You know, he can read your mind. He sees the pictures that you have in your mind. 10 years ago, God had given him a promise, and he would make him a great nation. And when God came to Abram, he had the wrong picture on his screensaver. All he could see is, I'm not going to get a child. All I could see was my servant's going to be my heir. For 10 years, this unfulfilled promise played havoc with his mind over and over and over. And some of you have pictures that have been playing in your mind. I'm sick. I'm never going to get out of this. I'm going to be in the same dumb job. I'm old, I'm not a father, Sarah is no spring chicken. Can't happen. Mental picture after mental picture, pictures produce feelings, feelings produce behavior. And that's why so many times somebody will speak a picture to your mind, and then you keep that picture, and it develops feelings, and then eventually it develops behavior in your life, and God's got to switch out the picture. Gird up the loins of your mind, you know? The first thing God says to Abram is, don't be afraid. Now, they haven't had a discussion, but God sees the screen of his mind and what he's thinking about, and the picture displays what he is thinking. I am childless. I guess I'll die without a promise. Eliezer will probably be my heir. And God immediately tells him he is not to fear and that God is his shield. And what God implies is that if you keep being afraid, it forces me to drop the shield because you can only function without fear and with faith. And so sometimes we play the same thing over and over. Something the doctor says, something somebody said in your family. You're never going to amount to anything. These pictures go over and over. And what happens is God has to replace that picture with a new picture. Amen. Amen. Color within the lines. Get a new picture from this picture book. It is amazing the feeble-minded pictures that we come up with because we're insecure. Amen. You walk by someone in the church and they have this funny look on their face, you know, and we're trying to figure out what does that mean? And you think that there must be some kind of problem. Then you sit in church for the next 45 minutes, never hear any of the preaching, don't sing any songs because you're trying to figure out what was going on in the mind of that person who was passing you by, who had a funny look on their face, and you draw this picture in your mind. What a jerk. What did I do anyway? I didn't do anything. Could it be that they really just had a bad day or just bad gas? And then later after the service is over, you know, everything is fine, you know, and you wasted a service because of it, because of that incomplete picture in your mind. Amen. You know, there is no question that there's a spirit in this world that wants to come against leadership. You hear it on the news every day. Let's kind of put down the leadership of this country. The devil wants to put down the leadership of the church. There's nobody to aspire to. So, how are you doing? Are you coloring in the lines? What picture have you chosen? And by the time you walk out of here, you need to have a different picture in your mind than perhaps what you've been thinking about for a long time. The doctor says, we found something in the test we ran. What kind of picture have you drawn? One that puts you in the hospital or one that sees you completely healed and testifying behind the pulpit? Let God give you a vision that says, fear not, I am your shield, I am your reward. And there's where the testimony is. There's the thing that delights God, because we're not going to take somebody else's picture that they projected in our minds, but we are saying, I got a better picture, and it's found within the lines. Fear is a result of our thoughts produced from situations, and fear hinders our protection from God. Now listen, you cannot receive fear without hearing or seeing. And that's why you don't want to allow yourself to hear an evil report, because immediately there is projected on your mind some kind of picture, or let your eyes see the things that they shouldn't see, because now all of a sudden you've got these pictures in your mind that the enemy can use over and over and over again. Maybe about a year ago, I preached on pornography. When Brother Mooney addressed our section, he's our assistant general superintendent, he says one of the main problems within Pentecost is pornography. Now, you can do it at home in the dark. Nobody else sees you. You can just press a couple of buttons. And the idea, this false concept is, well, if I just see this, I won't be enslaved by it anymore. And it's just the opposite, because now all of a sudden you have these random pictures flowing through your mind that controls your thinking. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing in the Word of God. Fear comes from hearing also. Negative things. Those pictures come from negative pictures. Whatever you feed your mind. Glory to God. Thomas, put your fingers in the nail prints of my hands and be not faithless, but believing. God doesn't just walk up to you and say, here's 100 pounds of faith. He just doesn't do that. Faith only comes by hearing and seeing the miracles of God. So we get these pictures when somebody comes up and testifies and says, I had cancer and it's gone, should there be a negative report to you, now you can see that picture rather than the picture of you laying in the hospital with tubes in your nose. Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance, or being sure of things hoped for, the evidence or proof of the things that you have not seen as yet. What is it? It's a picture in your mind that says, no, no, God says this, and I see it in my mind. I've often said, you know, if you want to see your relatives baptized in Jesus' name, you need to picture them in the baptismal, you see, or getting the Holy Ghost, or those you're praying for to be healed, seeing them healed. Amen. Okay, so what is the solution to our problem? How do we overcome a fear image? I just don't want the enemy to run roughshod over us by projecting all of these images in our mind. We have to gird up the loins of our mind and bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. How do we overcome a picture of fear in our minds that prevents us from receiving God's promise for us? Are you ready for this? You replace it with a faith picture. We have all kinds of faith pictures in this congregation. All kinds of people, from raising them from the dead to cancers to hearts, the problems, all kinds of things that God has done for us. Keep drawing and stay in the lines of the Bible and replace the old picture with the new. Think on these things, things that are honest and lovely and a good report, you see. I wish I could just make this harder for you. That way you'd feel like you got something. But it's so simple. God has made it so simple for us, you see. Maybe a revelation of how Daniel saw the seven seals and the image. You know, that would really give us faith. No, it's simply doing the things that God said. Start thinking about these things, and then all of a sudden, the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to keep your mind and your heart. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So simple. Amen. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. Keep worshiping God. Keep believing. Keep trusting in God. You tell a child something and they just believe it. You tell an adult and they say, yo, let me take that to the laboratory and I'll test it out and see what we come up with. We have to replace evil habits in our lives with good habits. We have to replace bad relationships with good relationships. here's the problem. People come into the church and they want to live for God, but they keep the old friends and never establish new friends within the church. The Bible says that you can't have friends unless you make yourself friendly. And what happens is if you keep the old friends, not that, you know, they're terrible people, but they don't value the same things as you value. So you need to have people who are the same mindset and love the same things that you love, and it's easier to live for God. We also are obligated to replace bad thought patterns with good thought patterns. That's why really it's imperative to open up this book about the same time you get the eggs off of the pan. Amen. You know, in the morning you feed yourself because you want to have a good day. Now if you will open this book in the morning and consume just a few scriptures, you know what's going to happen is those scriptures will stay with you during the day, and there will be thought patterns and pictures within your mind rather than the news, you know, that just feeds the negativity, that gives you another bad picture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here's what God does in our life and in the life of the father of the faithful, Abraham. God casts out the old picture of Eliezer of being his heir and then replaces that wrong picture with the right picture. See, what you're thinking here is wrong. You've got the wrong picture, Abram. Verse 4 says, "Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, be he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." So what he had to do is reaffirm, even though 10 years he told them, but he had to reaffirm because in the space of that 10 years, he is getting the wrong information, the wrong picture, and now God has to replace. That's why what happens when you come on a Wednesday and a Sunday, what happens is God's reaffirming his promises and giving you some images that you can feed on for the rest of the week. Abraham, you want a good picture. God then continues and says in verse number 5, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." So here's the picture. You're thinking it's going to be Eliezer. You're thinking I'm going to be childless. Now I want to show you something else. Here, look at the stars. This is what's going to happen in your life. Your seed is going to be numbered like the stars in the sky. Abraham, you get the picture now? And that's what God's wanting to do. You get the picture now? Amen. You can only get those pictures in church. Amen. You know? You can only get those pictures by reading the right book. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, if we want the right picture, we must look towards heaven, and God will draw us a picture. Now, we either let the promise or the problem produce the picture. And it's so easy for the problem to produce the thought patterns that we have rather than the promise that God has for us. Now, there was this woman who spent all that she had and just got worse instead of better. And she heard that Jesus was coming to town, and she said within herself, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, I am going to be made whole." Now, how did she get her healing? She had this picture that I'm thinking, I've got it in my mind, I'm thinking, I believe it. If I come to church Sunday night, I just got to believe that God's going to do, you know. You're building up the picture, you're coloring in the lines, you see the scriptures, and your faith is building and building and building. And by the time she got to the hem of Jesus' garment, man, the vision was there, the picture was there, and the faith was there for her to receive what she needed. Do you know what she started out with? She had a picture in her mind. She had created a faith image in her mind. Forget about the past. Forget about the empty bank account. Forget about all of the failures and all of the treatments and all of the times that I wanted to be healed and it didn't work. Get that out of your mind and now look to the positive picture that I have for you. If I could just touch Jesus, I know in my mind, I'll be healed. Church, God is just asking us to get the picture in our mind of what we desire, and He will do the rest. But if I come with a negative outlook or mindset, God's job isn't to change us in that sense. We have to do it ourselves. If you didn't believe you could get the Holy Ghost, you would not have raised your hand and come to an altar. And when we saw, this is going to happen. I've said this so many times, and if you've heard it, I'm sorry, but the night I got the Holy Ghost, it had been like 2 months. I was worshiping. I was trying to get the Holy Ghost. It just wasn't happening. I tried to make it too complicated when it was simple. And I was sitting in like the third row in the middle section, and the choir was singing, and there was a lady in the choir, and as she was singing, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came over her, and her lips started to tremble and stammer. And all of a sudden, she began to speak in other tongues. She had the Holy Ghost, but it was just a picture that God gave me. And as soon as I looked at her, all of a sudden, my lips started to tremble. And I thought to myself, this is the night! I got the picture. I could see myself at the altar getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why it's so important to create an atmosphere here. Somebody over there is praying for the Holy Ghost. Probably somebody over there will get the Holy Ghost. Somebody's praying for a healing here, and somebody over there will get the healing. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're sick right now, can you see yourself well? Are you frightened of something? Can you see God holding up a shield before you? Amen. Are you in trouble financially? Can you see the apostles pulling a gold coin out of a fish? Can you see some of the pictures? Can you see God feeding thousands of people with 2 loaves and 3 fishes? God has never lied to us. Never failed us once. And if He gave you a promise, the picture is now in your mind. It is what motivates God to deliver the promise. When we're thinking and seeing it in our mind, it motivates God to do something that is miraculous. If somebody comes in here and well, prove it, you know. Really, you think God is going to move on somebody who doesn't have the faith to believe that God can do it? Listen, the truth is that we are all a sorry-looking group of people. But God has another picture in His mind of us than we have of ourselves. He sees a beautiful bride going up in the rapture. We're wondering if we're really going to make it. You ought to see what my church is going to be like. as I catch her away. See, God's got the vision of what's going to happen when he descends from heaven with a shout. And it is that very image in God's mind that motivates him to forgive us and forget about the shortcomings that we have. Amen. Glory to God. Would you turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter? Numbers chapter 13, verse number 33. As you're entering into the promised land, shadow and type, coming into the church, God says we could have what we want. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So the picture they had in their mind is, we're grasshoppers, they're giants, and so the enemy had easy victory if we consider we're not up for the fight. And then if you turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Verse number 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, or 9 foot 8 inches. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had graves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the army of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So what was their picture? They saw this 9 foot 8 guy with a huge spear and armor just decimating anybody and everybody, I guess. And then fear came into their mind. But then there was this boy who remembered how he killed a lion, he killed a bear. And he had a different picture. And he had a God who was going to be his shield, his protector. You see, you've got to switch the picture. Any one of those guys could have done what David did, but he had the wrong picture in their mind. What caused David to run from Saul and run towards the 9 foot 8 inch Goliath? How in the world could he defeat this huge giant and then be so afraid of King Saul? Answer, he got a picture in his mind that one day he would perish at the hands of Saul. What's your picture? Mom had cancer, I'll probably have cancer. Dad had a heart attack, I'll probably have a heart attack. You know? somebody in your family didn't do well, and so you think, well, probably the same thing is going to happen to me. I'll never accomplish anything. You see, it's just a negative picture. You have to get rid of that. David had the picture of defeating the giant Goliath. We just need to change the slide in our brain. What do you have on your screensaver right now? You know? God did that with Gideon. The angel of the Lord spake to him, hiding behind a granary. He was a coward. He worried. He thought, you know what? I better hide behind here because the Philistines are going to come in and not only take what I have, but probably kill me. And then the angel says, oh, thou mighty man of valor. Really? Come on. Me? Got to change the picture. God changed the picture he had in his mind, and then he got the victory. He got the victory in a very unorthodox way. Hallelujah. So what picture do you draw in your mind? If you can imagine it, you can have it, because that's what God's word says. You have to imagine, and that really is your faith, or the key to getting what God wants to give you. Could you bring your picture to the altar tonight so God could grade your coloring? You might get a prize, you know, if somehow you can imagine what God is going to do. I'm telling you, maybe it will take all week for you to draw within the lines of what you want Sunday morning. But by the time you get here, in order to show God what you have produced, I'm believing God for this picture, and you hand it in, glory to God. If God had a refrigerator, he'd put your picture on it. As we do our little kids, they come and they say, look what, and it's really not much of anything, and we're thinking, ooh, is that beautiful, you know? And what we can produce probably isn't much in comparison to hanging stars in the sky and all of the planets in the solar system. But God is still so impressed by what we can develop in our mind that we believe that our God can do. And then he does it. Amen. Glory to God. Gird up the loins of your mind. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. But somehow we have to feed the thoughts through our mind gates. We need to hear it. We need to see it. We need to even allow our mind to remember it so that during the day we have the best pictures going on. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? You have to be careful about who you spend time with. Many years ago, I had someone come up to the platform and hold their arms out like this and say negative things. And I had someone behind them try to pull their arms down, and it really wasn't very difficult to do that at all. Now, I'm telling you, the next thing we had them do is say something positive about God's word, and the same person behind them could not pull their arms down. You just don't understand what an effect negative words have on you and your faith and your vision. So if somebody comes to you with negative words, you need to say, you know what, I'm sorry. I don't want that. Did you hear about, I'm sorry, I don't want that picture in my mind. Because it's not going to promote my spirituality or getting closer to God or getting from God what I want. I know what I'm talking about. some images that you get in your mind, it's going to take some time in order to get them out of your head, but somehow you have to replace it with something else that's of a positive nature. Amen. And hopefully every time we walk into church, we've got new pictures that God has given us that allows us to be stronger. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The altar's open. Would you come?